slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last, just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Slow down, you move too fast. Simon and Garfunkel, they've been banging on about this for 5 decades now. What did they know that we didn't? Well, let's be honest, not many of us have been listening. If anything, with smartphones and tablets and technology and all of that, computers, the speed of life has quadrupled since they released that song back in 1966. But there is a dedicated and growing movement of people who are putting the brakes on their pace of living. I don't know how they're doing it, but we're about to find out. Brooke McCallery is one of the leaders. She's the host of the Slow Home podcast, and she recently returned from a very slow journey around Canada. Welcome, Brooke.
Hi, Miff.
That doesn't sound like a very slow life to have a podcast and books and traveling the world. Are you practicing what you're preaching?
Most of the time, yeah. Oh, I mean, that's the thing about slow living, though. It's sort of, it always looks different to whoever it is that's talking about it. Yeah. So for me, most of the time it feels slow, and, you know, other times it's all about tilting into the busyness.
Yeah. What does it take to lead a slow life, or what made you decide to lead a slow life? And as part of that question, what is a slow life?
For me, it was actually I was diagnosed with severe postnatal depression actually after our second baby was born. And looking back, I can see that I was living what is probably a pretty typically fast-paced, high-pressure life. And when I was diagnosed, my psychiatrist sort of sat me down and said, have you ever considered doing slightly less in your life to alleviate some of the stress? And I was genuinely offended at the suggestion, because I thought she meant I couldn't cope. But I used that as a springboard into researching what would it look like to do a little bit less, or to slow down the pace at which I was living. And it's been a process of, 8 years of figuring that out. And I think the key with slow living is figuring out what is important to us as an individual, the things that we hold dear, the things that are our personal values, and putting them at the center of our life by making space in removing the things that aren't as important, but the things that we feel like we should be doing.
Can you give me some examples in your life? I mean, it won't work for everybody, but what did you cut out in your life and what did you add?
I cut out, really one of the biggest things for me was completely recalibrating what I thought success looked like. Because for me, it had previously been about, what it looked like on the exterior, what I thought people would think of me and the way I was living. And it wasn't actually intentional in terms of what I wanted my life to feel like and look like. So once I let go of this idea of success and, keeping up with the Joneses, I was able to ask myself like a really scary question of, who am I and what is important to me? And for me, it was, my family, adventure, doing the right thing by people and the environment and my community. And so much of what I was putting my time and energy into, things like, Facebook and Instagram and scrolling through endless news sites and all this other stuff, none of those things were in service to the things that I actually held important to me. So it's just been a gradual letting go of all of those things and making space for the things that are really valuable to me.
And what are those things that are valuable to you, Brooke?
Well, I mean, they're creativity and adventure and kindness and living in a way that at the end of the day, I don't have that pang in my gut where I feel like I've put my energies into things that aren't important. So even if it's just sitting down with my kids at the end of the day and reading with them, like reading out loud to them for 15 minutes, that's turning up. Or, getting up in the morning, instead of diving headfirst into my phone, I get up and maybe I drink a cup of tea in the silence before I start my day. And I mean, I've still got a job. I still, we have a house. We have all the busyness and the responsibilities of normal life. But it's just carving out those moments every day for the important things that tend to make the pace of life feel different.
Brooke McCallery is with us. We're talking about slow living. You said you've got a job, you do all the normal regular things. Does it mean you have to speed up when you're at your job to make sure you fit it all into a certain amount of time?
Yeah, it's a good question, actually. Sometimes, yeah. I mean, and I like this idea of tilting into different you know, different areas of life. And it's sort of, rather than multitasking, which we've all been taught is the way to be efficient, what I've discovered is by multitasking, I'm not really being efficient at any one thing. I'm kind of dividing my attention and my energy. So if I'm at work and I'm trying to, you know, I'm worrying about the kids or what's happening at home, I'm not doing either of those things justice. So it's about tilting into work and removing the distractions, like turning my phone off or, you know, getting off the internet when I'm trying to do work, and allowing myself to just be all into that thing and understanding that I'm all out of everything else at this, at that time. And I find that it's not necessarily I have to speed up, but I just have to get really intentional with how I spend my time.
That's probably wise advice for everyone. We should all get a bit more intentional with how we spend our time. I know I should, with, you know, phones and things like that. They're the things that distract us, don't they? Do you think they also led to perhaps your anxiety that possibly led into some of the issues that you faced? Because they're doing quite a bit of research now that suggests that things like tablets do cause anxiety.
Yeah, for me, I think there was definitely underlying things going on there as well. But that hyper-connectedness was absolutely a triggering thing for me, constantly feeling like I had to be on or updating or, you know, being informed or whatever it may have been driving that behaviour. I completely agree that my anxiety was heightened by that. And if ever I feel myself getting drawn back into that, you know, that hyper-connected behaviour, my anxiety peaks and, you know, I start to make choices and my behaviour changes, and you fall back into that those well-worn patterns of behaviour before you even realise it. So yeah. I think renegotiating our relationship with technology is really important.
Well, in that case, what does a slow home look like? Do you have no computers? Is the telly out the door?
No, we have computers. Yep. I'm a writer, so I need a computer.
True.
As much as I like writing by hand, you know, it's kind of a necessity of the job. And, you know, we've got a TV and all the kind of, like, I've got a phone, a smartphone. But it's, again, about having boundaries around those things. You know, so we've got two kids and they have a boundary around their screen time during the week, for example. And there's no, you know, tablet time at all during the week, and they get an hour on the weekends. And that's just something we've come to as a family that works for us. Everyone's specifics will look different, but I found that having those boundaries for them, but also for us as adults, is really important, particularly if we do the work to, you know, uphold those boundaries and honor them, because otherwise that tech creep can happen really quickly. And again, that sort of adds back into that fast-paced feeling that we all have.
That's right. What about food, slow food? I hear this term bandied about an awful lot. Is it as simple as putting food in a crock pot and letting it cook all day, and that's a bit of a slow-cooked meal, or is it more than that?
That can totally be slow food. I mean, the crock pot is one of the best inventions, I think, for people who are busy. But slow food was sort of the genesis of the entire slow movement. And really what it was created for, or in reaction to, was the rise of fast food. And I mean, you think about fast food, and what it's lacking is quality. What it's lacking is connection to where, you know, the food is from. There might be preservatives and additives added into things to make them cheaper and bulk them out. So slow food is really just looking at all of those things and seeing how can we come back to a relationship with food that's a little bit more like what it used to be. You know, so more sort of fresh food, or just being more intentional with things. And I think one of the things with food that hampers a lot of us when we're trying to slow down our relationship with food is convenience. You know, we're all busy. We're all pressed for time. So we grab convenience foods. But the problem with that is that it's lacking in perhaps quality, or it's lacking in, you know, nutrition. So as much as people might roll their eyes about this idea of slow food, part of it is actually doing things as boring as meal planning for the week, you know, or doing an hour or two of food prep on a Sunday afternoon so that you don't have to continue to choose convenience foods.
And Brooke McCallery is the host of the Slow Home podcast. We're talking about slow living. Now, slow living, you touched on it then. It could also be difficult for people because they might have two jobs and they might have a family, and there's so much time in just running or, you know, attending to life. to go slowly, is it really only the place for people who are a little bit more privileged to be able to go slower and have more time? Or is it possible, do you think, for others to be able to enjoy the benefits of slow living?
It's such an important question. I think that's part of this whole discussion about slowing down, because I absolutely think that there are parts of what is currently the vision of slow living that are only available to people with certain privileges of either time or money or, you know, different resources. And that it's something that I'm trying to work to broaden, this idea of slow living, because I think that everyone would benefit from slowing down, but not everyone can do some of the things that slow living looks like. So for me, it's also about, I guess, acknowledging that, first of all, and then encouraging people who maybe they don't have the resources to be able to completely change the way they eat, but perhaps do they have 5 minutes every day to just sit on the bus on the way to work or at the end of the day before they go to bed and just breathe quietly, you know, and just have that moment of slowness. And for a lot of people, in a lot of circumstances, that is what slow living will look like for a bit. And what I've discovered with a lot of people I speak to is that that 5 minute exercise of slowing down can often bring about another change, you know, another small change. But it needs to be enough that we can all just find that 5 minutes a day. That's where I started. Mm. I started with 2 minutes a day.
Yep. You know.
And yeah, so I'm always hesitant to kind of paint this picture of slow living as a set of rules or guidelines, what it should look like.
Because it could sometimes sound like it's just more things that we have to conquer, another way of living that we have to master, which is giving us more jobs to do. And it could make other people feel anxious. It makes me feel a bit anxious trying to think about how to slow down.
Well, exactly.
Which is
weird. We're swapping another set of Joneses out, you know, finding like the new slow living set of Joneses, and that's not the point.
That's not the point, is it? No.
Not at all. Yeah.
It's fascinating. I'd love to give it a go. What would be the top five tips, say, for somebody like me who would like to slow down but can't imagine how to do it?
So I think the first thing would be to find 5 minutes a day of just sitting and doing nothing. We're very bad as humans at doing nothing.
Yep.
And I think if you can nominate a 5 minute period in your day, that's a great place to start. Another thing would be to get your phones out of the bedroom. And I know we all use them as our alarms and things like that, but just set it outside your bedroom door and see if that makes a difference with your sleep and your mornings. Because I think that, again, we wake up, we're in our emails, we're looking at Instagram before we're even out of bed, and that sets us on a completely different trajectory. I also think starting to think about what your personal values are is a good place to begin. I mean, I wrote my eulogy when I was 31, and that's how I began. But even just considering what is important to you as an individual, and then weighing that up with how you spend your time and your energy during your day, and see if there's a big disconnect there, and if there's something small you can do to start bringing those things a little closer together.
Good advice. And I love what you said earlier too, just taking our lives back a little to how people used to live without all the distraction that we have. Maybe there was something in it. Maybe they're onto it. And maybe we've got it wrong with all of our technology. I'm not sure. I'm still feeling my way myself. What are your thoughts on that?
I think technology is great, because I think it's, you know, given us so much ability and so many potentials and opportunities in the world. But I also think that we're at a point now where we're no longer using it mindfully. We're using it mindlessly, and it should be a tool, I think, technology. And I think that many of us are using it as a crutch instead. So if we could find some magical way of melding some parts of, you know, the old days with a lot of good parts of now, I think that's somewhere about where we need to be. Because the answer is not to completely throw out all tech,
yeah,
you know, and that's not going to
it's
happen.
It's balance, isn't it?
Exactly.
It's balance.
It is absolutely balance.
I love your wise words, and they obviously come from a place that's had a bit of time to contemplate, which I'm very envious of. Brooke McAllery, thank you for your time.
Thanks so much, Miff.
Yeah, Brooke McAllery, she is the host of the Slow Home Podcast. Slow Your Home Podcast is what it's called. You can find it if you do a search anywhere.
Miff Warhurst.
Weekdays on ABC Radio, online and on the ABC Listen app.